Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Fred and Ray, and then joining us now is Steve Jordahl. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Well, what do you got leading the news for us, Steve?
I heard you guys talking last hour about the governor who's asking neighbors to spy on neighbors.
For Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I have that volume two. In Vermont, Governor Phil Scott there said during a press conference that schools in the state are now going to be asking kids questions when they come back from their Thanksgiving holiday. Who was at your Thanksgiving gathering? Were there people that were outside of your household? And if the students answer yes, they have a choice to either be quarantined for 14 days or 7 days and a negative COVID test.
You got a problem with that? You got a problem with that, Steve?
I really don't want the school. It's none of the
school's business. He's saying Vermont, right? It's the same deal as in Oregon.
Same. Yeah, yeah.
Except the schools.
Where'd you get this story?
This is on Fox News.
Huh? I mean, is this April 1st?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
This is not a Babylon Bee story.
Right,
no,
Babylon Bee.
No,
so you're telling me in Vermont. Go ahead and read that again.
Governor Phil Scott said during a press conference on Tuesday that schools in the state will include new questions during daily health checks about whether students and their parents attended gatherings outside of their households following the Thanksgiving holiday.
Okay. Is he going to say this is for contact tracing purposes then?
No, he's going to say that, unfortunately, he says, he tweets this out. Unfortunately, we know that some will still get together and schools have asked for help. The Department of Education will direct schools to ask students or parents if they were part of a multifamily gathering. If they answer yes, they'll need to go remote for 14 days or 7 days and a test. He just doesn't want kids to bring the COVID into the classroom, which they don't anyway.
But he is asking the kids to basically
rat on their parents.
Rat out their parents, right?
Good Where night. Else have we seen this? I remember this in 1932 somewhere. Where was
this
that?
It's unbelievable.
Getting way out of hand.
Yeah.
Say the least. Getting way out of hand. Well, I tell you what, though. There is a remedy here. And the people in Michigan are trying to go through the proper process. They're trying to make their governor accountable. Impeach.
That's
impeachment
that's underway.
For overreach.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so for governors and mayors, it's much more successful to challenge them if you're able to vote for that person directly or know that person or you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
As opposed to a national. If you had the president of the United States, for example, issuing national lockdowns or mandatory mask wearing or whatever the case may be, it'd be more difficult to do anything about it because it's coming from one centralized place that is over the whole country. And Biden, should he be in the presidency, wouldn't even be up for a re-election for 4 years. So I'm just saying, for mayors and governors, at least there's a way to address that. That overreach should citizens feel like they have been, victims of. Mm-hmm. But in California, they're having a near civil war out there, Ray.
And a lot of people, Tim, are leaving the states.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
California. I mean, far more are moving out of California right now than are moving in because of the political situation, the riots, the out of control illegal immigrant problem, and the taxes that are just sky high,
and the homelessness,
homelessness
problem in California. But specifically, I'm talking about there's a reaction among a lot of Californians against the governors and the county and city officials.
Newsom is not popular. By the way, I'm heading out there on the 7th of December.
Well, he's popular with somebody.
Well,
he's governor, right? You're saying he's not popular right now.
Yeah, a lot of people are upset with his restrictions that he's pushing down,
and his $300 a plate entree.
That does not help.
What was the name of that restaurant he went to?
The French Laundry. It's up in Napa, in wine country.
Does that not sound so California right there? The French Laundry.
So I'm heading out to California.
We can't have Bill's Steakhouse. We gotta go. The French Laundry.
Fred's my boss. I'm going to ask for a stipend to go. I have to do some research and see what the restaurant's like. So, Fred, I'll need $800 for dinner.
We'll pay for the appetizer.
I don't know. You better check that price.
Yeah, right?
If you don't know what we're talking about, folks, Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, is issuing all these, telling everybody in the state of California, he's trying to micromanage everything. The virus, which is impossible to do, but he's trying. He's trying to, you know, come up with all these, you do this over here, do this over there, can't do this where, you know, shut down here, shut down there in California, and he's trying to do that from the governor's office. Well, he was caught on camera going to a fancy restaurant called, Steve, here you are.
The French Laundry.
The French Laundry. In California, was that Napa Valley? Where was that?
It's in Napa, yeah.
Okay, Napa Valley, or as native Californians call it, as Steve does, Napa.
Well, there's a town of Napa, and then there's Napa Valley.
Okay, separate, okay. But Napa, and the restaurant he goes to is like, the menu is like, I'm serious, $300 entrees, is that what they said?
Well, someone said that the whole total dinner bill, including the tip, was somewhere around $13,000 for this party of, eight or something?
I bet it'd be some good shrimp right there.
Whoa.
I'm going to tell you that right now. And the spinach artichoke dip better be top shelf.
That's right.
Right there.
They better not run out of chips either.
Yeah. My tea glass gets beyond one-third, somebody's not getting a $700 tip. That's all I got to say. Listen, you know what? The governor was caught sitting shoulder to shoulder, standing shoulder to shoulder with some folks at this private party he was attending, and he wasn't wearing a mask and he wasn't social distancing, and so all these things that he said for the citizens of California to do, he was violating himself at this party, and he got caught. He apologized for it, said he shouldn't have done it, and he was sorry. But the damage was already done, so that's the mockery he will have to endure as long as the pandemic does, I guess. And that's what makes other citizens in California who are having to go out of business or suffer greatly because of his mandates to them. Mm-hmm. They look at that and go, you know, how can you be acting like that when we're out here suffering because you tell us we can't have but 25% capacity in our restaurant. By the way, restaurants can't, I just learned this a few months ago, restaurants can't operate on 25 or even 50% capacity hardly.
No.
So that does them no good.
No.
You tell them, okay, you can have 50% capacity. Well, they have to hire cooks. They have to hire staff. And there's no point in opening it up if you're not even going to break even because for half of your restaurant, you can't even seat people. See what I'm saying? And that's happening all over the place. Go ahead, Steve.
Do you guys remember Judge Emmett Sullivan in the Virginia area? He's the guy that got a hold of Michael Flynn and wouldn't let go. So if you remember, Michael Flynn pleaded guilty.
That would be General Flynn.
General Michael Flynn pleaded guilty to lying to the FBI. And then it was kind of revealed that it was a setup. He was kind of coaxed into it. He was led into the lie, and he wanted to withdraw his plea. Judge Emmett Sullivan had the case and would not dismiss it. The Justice Department said, we're done with this case. Emmett Sullivan would not dismiss the case, has not dismissed the case to this day. He is still insisting on he even hired his own lawyer to represent Judge Emmett Sullivan's point of view. Just unheard of that this guy wouldn't, he's such an anti-Trump person that he would not let go of Michael Flynn. Well, the NCAA, the civil rights group, has filed a federal lawsuit against President Trump himself and his campaign based on voter intimidation and voter suppression. And guess who's assigned the case? Judge Emmett Sullivan.
Voter suppression.
Yep.
President Trump's, they're saying that President, who, NAACP?
NAACP, I'll read you what they said. They have actively pursued the strategy of, pressured state and local officials not to certify election results in key states and then have state legislatures override the will of the voter by installing a slate of electors loyal to the Republican Party. They have actively pursued this strategy, compromising the integrity of the election process and unlawfully interfering with the voters. To effectuate this strategy, Trump and his campaign are openly seeking to disenfranchise black voters, including voters in Detroit, Michigan.
So they're filing this after the election.
Yes.
And what the Trump lawyers are doing is, by the way, constitutional. And so how is it that they're going to charge Trump with breaking? What law is he breaking by doing what he's doing?
Oh, Fred, you don't have to actually have a crime in order to get someone into court. Not a Trump guy. Yeah,
the NAACP just has to have something to do.
Okay? I guess.
They got to have something to send out a letter on to raise money.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and you're saying that Judge Sullivan is going to be the one hearing this case.
Yeah, it was supposed to be a random draw, but believe me, it was not a random draw.
That's judge shopping.
Yeah.
If there ever was one. Right. Well, you know, what they're saying is that President Trump's trying to disenfranchise black folks from how they voted on November the 3rd, and that's just not true. Just not true.
My fear is, though, that, you know, if he was a dog with a bone with Michael Flynn, if he has the actual Donald Trump in front of his bench or thinks he can call him in front of his bench, he will not let go of that case until he sees Donald Trump in prison if he has his way. I'm convinced of that.
Well, it's part of the strange things going on in this country. And there's breaking news. Steve may not be aware of this yet. It's a Fox News story this morning. Former President Barack Obama was on The Breakfast Club this morning.
That's a radio show.
Charlemagne the God.
Oh, yeah.
He is very upset, Barack Obama is, with Hispanics. Hispanics who voted for Trump in this election. There was an increase in the number of Hispanics. In particular, evangelical Hispanics. Now, I'm going to quote you what Barack Obama told that program this morning. Quote, "People were surprised about a lot of Hispanic folks who voted for Trump. But there's a lot of evangelical Hispanics who, the fact that Trump says racist things about Mexicans or puts undocumented workers in cages, they think that's less important than the fact that he supports their views on gay marriage or abortion."
Well, I know what I'm going to be doing this afternoon.
There's so many things to point out here.
Yeah.
There is a pattern amongst these leftists. We played this Bernie Sanders going after the Wheaton graduate, member who was seeking a job.
Russell Vought.
And saying his Christian beliefs that Jesus is the only way of salvation made him unfit for a government job. That was Bernie Sanders. And now Barack Obama is condemning Hispanics who voted for Trump. I hope you caught the hypocrisy, amongst other things, in that statement that Barack Obama made. He says, or puts undocumented workers in cages.
That's what he's saying President Trump did.
Yes.
This is Barack Obama saying this.
When Barack Obama was president, who built the cages?
Right. Exactly. Who built the cages? Right.
Who built the cages?
Right.
This is unbelievable.
Well, also, this is what Fred's referring to is a story on Fox News about former President Barack Obama giving an interview to a radio host, and he was asked about the Hispanic vote, and so many of them went for President Trump, and they're like two liberals going, "How could this be?" And President Obama, here's the other thing he said that you mentioned, Fred, and I'm quoting, "There's a lot of evangelical Hispanics who, the fact that Trump says racist things about Mexicans," let me just stop right there, "you're a liar."
Yes.
President Obama is lying. Because Donald Trump does not say racist things about Mexicans, and never has.
No.
He did make those comments when he was what, running for office?
Yes.
Four or five years ago. That, but he said, talking about sending some of them are rapists and drug dealers and cartel members and so such. He wasn't making a blanket statement about Mexican people. He was talking about the bad characters.
Criminals
that we get because of open borders.
Yes.
That's what he was talking about. He was not making a statement about Hispanic people.
And some of them are good people.
Yeah, some of them are good people.
Right.
MS-13 and other a ruthless gang that we're having trouble with. So that's what he was talking about. So that was not racist things about Mexican people. There was, and Barack Obama knows this, but they'll use half of what President Trump says. And President Trump can be inarticulate sometimes. Let's be honest. He sometimes shoots things off, shoots at the hip, which he would be better served by not exactly saying, in my opinion, by being a little more cautious with his language. Let me just put it that way. But with Donald Trump, you get the good and the bad. So most of it's good, I think. But what he also says here is that Obama accuses, as you say, Fred, accuses Trump of building cages to put undocumented workers in. Huh? When, in fact, it's been proven by the media, the liberal media, that it was under the Obama administration that the cages were built and introduced to hold people. And they're not cages like animal cages.
It's a fenced-in area.
Fenced-in areas, and they're called cages if you have a conservative in the White House, and they're called fenced-in areas if you have a liberal in the White House, a Democrat. So, and by the way, Mr. Obama, I would just say also, evangelical Hispanics do take marriage and life seriously, and there's nothing wrong with that.
They do.
So he's basically criticizing them for their views on marriage and abortion.
Biblical views.
Yeah, that they're against gay marriage and against taking an innocent human life in the womb.
Yeah.
And that's what Obama's saying.
And the fact that he would say that on a broadcast radio program, that speaks from his heart where he is. I think there is hatred against evangelical Christians. I think we are regarded as a group of people, deplorables, as Hillary Clinton said, that get in the way of their agenda.
Well, don't forget, it was Barack Obama, I forget if he was president or if he was a candidate. But he was given that radio interview in San Francisco. He was quoted as saying, you know, that the Republican Party is full of a lot of people who, quote, cling to their guns and their religion.
And their Bibles.
Or cling to their, I shouldn't say quote, but it cling to their guns and their Bible. And their Bibles.
Yeah.
He used this in a deriding statement.
Yep.
So he was, as you say, he was mocking, saying these people are, basically these people are deplorables. They're hicks that are stupid. So they cling to their Bibles and their guns. So that is the attitude that, that side of the aisle has expressed for the last few years about, particularly about evangelical Christians. All right. Today's Issues is the name of the program you're listening to, and Steve Jordahl has our next story.
A lot of people out there in conservative land may be getting tired of the fight of President Trump to reclaim the White House, but John Voight is not one of them. I want you to hear a video he put out in the last 24 hours. This is some of what he said, Cut 13.
We're heading down a street that has no name now. We must not allow our nation to crumble. This is what they want. To destroy America. Let me warn you all that we are in great danger if we fall under a Biden administration. Our state, California, is being ruled by a leftist mob. Himself, Governor Newsom, is taking away our freedom, your freedom. He's a disgrace to mankind, he and his relative Nancy Pelosi, who has tried to bring President Trump down. Governor Newsom has destroyed many lives of people who depended on their businesses. And now he wants to shut down again. He is a lie, like all the left that are trying to destroy the USA. I ask all to fight this battle now, to get them all out.
He's gunning for somebody, hypothetic or symbolically.
Metaphorically.
Metaphorically, thank you. That's the word I was looking for.
John Voight, Academy Award-winning actor and a big fan and friend of President Trump there. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't surprise me. He has an eloquent way of putting things, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. When you get to a certain status, John Voight, maybe Mel Gibson, those times, they're kind of beyond the reach of, you know, the riffraff in Hollywood that want to cancel right. you. No one's going to cancel John Voight. So, you know.
There are probably more conservatives out there, don't you think? But a lot of them simply can't risk speaking out. As you said, John Voight is beyond the reach of cancel culture.
I was talking to Ted Baer of Movie Guide a couple of weeks ago. He says that I was talking to him about, it wasn't Chris Pine, it was the other actor that is a Christian that sometimes puts his faith out there. He says there's a lot of Christians in Hollywood who just are, they believe, they're believers, but they're more interested in acting and affecting change from the inside, person to person.
Well, Matthew McConaughey said that.
Matthew McConaughey is another one.
Mm-hmm. He's an actor who said there are a lot of believers in Hollywood, but they have to keep quiet if they want to work. That's what I remember him saying a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. basically.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But he was saying, Matthew McConaughey was saying, I am beyond that point that I don't really care, because I guess he's saying I've made my mark, I've made my money, and mm-hmm. they're not going to be able to cancel me. It's because I've reached that level.
Yeah.
Yep. The actress who used to be on Everybody Loves Raymond.
Patricia Richards. Patricia.
Yeah. Very outspoken pro-life lady.
Christie Alley?
Christie Alley is another one, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Chris Pratt was the guy that I was thinking of. He really hasn't reached quite that status. He's on a trajectory to be one of the A-listers. He is an A-lister, but he's often speaking out about his faith.
He still makes a good payday at them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Huh?
It's an honest day's work, right?
I just want to say, if America goes full-on socialism, I'll be willing to be the person to take half of Chris Pratt's check. You know what I'm saying? To equal things out.
If I have to do it, I will.
Yes, Ray. You too.
That's right.
So we sign
I'll
up
join you.
Right. We sign up for taking half of Hollywood's money.
That's right.
So we can make sure
somebody's
it's
got to do it.
Anyway, there are some outspoken conservatives and Christians in Hollywood. James Wood is another.
Yep.
Wood or Woods?
Woods. James
Woods. Woods, the actor. Mm-hmm. He's another one, very outspoken.
Kirk Cameron used to be in Hollywood. I don't know if he still acts.
He still does
something. Yeah.
He still is. Kirk Cameron. I'm a friend of his. Friend of Kay's. Mm-hmm. And he's in Hollywood. Well, not in Hollywood. He lives somewhere out there in Southern California, but is still very active in politics and works with Ray Comfort and does films and movies.
Mm-hmm.
Great brother, Kirk Cameron. All right, Steve, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Ray, appreciate it.
Thank you, Tim. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, blessed Thanksgiving to everyone.
Hey, Fred, how many people are you having over to your house?
Counting the cats?
I'm going to call somebody.
That's right. Make a list.
Right. Oh, my.
May you have a wonderful Thanksgiving celebration without sheriff's deputies coming to your house, ladies and gentlemen. If they come to your house, offer them turkey.
Yeah, that's right.
There you go.
And ham.
Mm-hmm.
And deviled eggs.
And pumpkin pie.
Pumpkin pie.
Mm-hmm.
Turnip greens and sweet corn. Wow, man. I'm just drifting off into Thanksgiving.
I know.
Food heaven right there.
It's coming.
Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Thanks to Brent. We'll see you Monday live.